Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Come True. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, I thought we could talk about our experiences at the Arclight. Because I recently revisited Grand Budapest Hotel. That was the only movie I got to see in the Dome, even though I saw it like, I don't know, handful of movies throughout the years since moving to LA in the other theaters, but I never at the, that was the only Dome movie I saw. So.
Okay. That's a pretty good one too.
Yeah, I like it. I think aesthetically it's great. It like just a typical Wes Anderson movie, right? Like production design is great. Ton of really good actors, sort of idiosyncratic characters, fun performances.
And also, man, I meant for like the Dome. Yeah. I mean, for like the Dome is such a great movie to watch.
Yeah. It was a really fun experience. Yeah. One thing they have at the Arclight is when movies would first release, they would bring like some sort of like production item or costumes. Or in this case, they brought the actual hotel.
Yeah, miniature. Yeah,
miniature.
I actually got to see that too. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's only ever art department or costumes.
Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Mostly costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was. Operative.
And, but yeah, no, I mean, it's. RIP, rest in power. Arclight. But yeah, no, that was like my only experience. I remember moving here to LA, and of course I wanted to come into a movie town. I wanted to go to all the big theaters first. So I had to come watch something at the Dome. I didn't care what it was. Luckily it was a Wes Anderson movie and, which I enjoy a lot of his movies. This one, not so much. I liked it. It's good. If I had to rank them, I wouldn't rank it as high. I think it kind of lends me to be a little cold sometimes with the main storyline.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially because like I'm probably going to put his animated movies higher on the list for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went to visit all the major movie theaters like ArcLight, mm-hmm. AMC 1 through 12, Pacific Theater 1 through 50. RIP to that too.
Yeah, I know.
Because in case nobody knew, which I didn't know, Arclight and Pacific Theater were the same company.
Right, I didn't know that either. There's like
I didn't know that, yeah.
There's a giant one here in Glendale, and that's technically the nice one. I have my little home-owned, quote-unquote, theater here, the Highland 3.
Highland 3, yeah.
But
every time I go there for a matinee show, there's always some interesting, colorful characters that show up. Had these like two older ladies that just did not give a shit one time, and they were like cracking open beers, and they look like, you know, like they could be your aunts or something. And they're just like yelling at each other, and I try to tell like the kids that work up front, like, hey, can you like tell these people to quiet down? And they're kids, so they just, like, walked in, stared at them, and one person, like, shrugged and walked back out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's, luckily, I'm watching The Winchester, which is, like, a shitty movie anyway.
Yeah. What was the experience I had there? I think I was watching Coco and watched it for $6 on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I think it was more of a funny moment, less of like an annoying moment where where at the end when they're trying to get the grandmother to end, it's a really sad moment, right? And everyone's crying in the theater. Like, you could just audibly hear people crying and stuff like that. And you just look around, there's tears. My fiance's crying. I'm crying. And then all of a sudden, someone just started, like just making these really obnoxious noise. So that completely killed it for me. I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm out of this movie. I can't focus on anything else.
I know we're drifting away from the arc line, but I have like a pretty good story about just like when you've seen these movies before and you know when the moments are going to happen and you kind of anticipate them so you don't do the same thing in front of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're a fucking young teen. So I was in junior high, I think, or maybe it was like middle school, right? Because when I was still going, sixth grade was separate from seventh and eighth grade. It was one of those. We go to somebody's house. We're going to watch Simon Birch. And I had already seen the part where he finally hits a home run and it hits like his friend's mom that he was like in love with right in the head and she dies. The first time I had seen that, what? I felt really bad and I did tear up, right? I'm watching this in a room with all like the semi cool kids and some of the popular kids and this like one girl I had a crush on. And I was like, I cannot fucking cry during this moment because of masculinity or whatever bullshit. And I'm anticipating, I'm like, fuck, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then right when the baseball hits and this like this little kid, right, like hits the fucking ball and it hits the mom in the head. I fucking laughed so fucking hard because in my head it went bonk and I was the only asshole in that room full of the cool kids in front of the girl that I had a crush on who stared at me and like, what the fuck's your problem? And yeah.
Class.
Don't hold your feelings in, folks, because otherwise you look like a psychopath. That's my my advice. That's my cautionary tale. It was just so funny. He's like, yeah, he's going to do it. He's going to hit this home run, hits it, and then bonk. I'm like, oh, man, they could have shot that differently now that I think about it.
Fucking
hell. But getting back to it, getting away from this because I'm not crazy, I promise. The first movie I saw at the ArcLight, I believe, was Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then the first movie I saw at the Dome, I believe, was, what did we say it was? World Trade Center.
Cinematic masterpiece.
It's a perfect movie to see at the Dome.
Yeah, it's like,
luckily I saw better movies later.
But, yeah, it's like Godfather, World Trade Center, they're like on the same level.
I know. Yeah, World Trade Center is just like only like 20 times better, that's it, which is rare. It's like World Trade Center, Citizen Kane, Godfather. And then the last movie I think I saw at the ArcLight, which this isn't an unfortunate thing, I just don't remember any movie I saw after this. Every once in a while, they would show a remastered whatever millimeter print of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So that was badass. Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Just like, you know, get really stoned. I mean, eat some food before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to say stoned. That's horrible.
Yeah, we're role models.
It's legal in California. Never mind. So I was high, and I was like, this is great.
Yeah, I think the only thing I remember is I like the popcorn there. We're talking about it. The fucking,
oh, man, the popcorn was fucking... concession there was on point.
Everything was, like, a little overpriced, but still, like, worth it in a way.
Yeah, I want to say like everything in general there was overpriced, but yeah, you're right, so worth it.
Yeah, everything they had there, it was like it was like so good. It was just so expensive, but it wasn't my go-to theater. I had like a Pacific near me, I had like the Highland 3, so, but anytime I wanted to like splurge a little bit and watch a movie there, that's where I would go.
Yeah, and, same.
In LA, I can't even think of a equivalent. IPIC, maybe? Just throwing a name out there. Might be the equivalent, but I don't even know if there's anything like that. Because it was like a... a movie chain for movie lovers. You know what I mean? Or movie people who appreciate movies. That's, they kind of set it up that way. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's a huge loss here in LA. So, and being in a movie town, you would think that there movies would be more. Movie theaters would be more accessible, you know, more out there, like the ArcLight, things that catered to, like, there could be like boutique-y kind of movie theaters or stuff kind of geared towards it, but there really isn't. I can't think of stuff, places off my head.
Well, I think I want to say my go-to movie theater is probably kind of like that, the Vista, mm-hmm. where they just keep like the up. I mean, you've been there, you know, so they just like.
Mm-hmm.
Kept up what it looked like when it originally opened in like 19 whatever year, you know, way before like the 80s. And I think it's like this one guy that's like super nice dude bought that theater and bought the Los Feliz 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He runs them both. And he's also the dude. Have you ever been there when there's a premiere?
I mean, there was a premiere. I've been there to the Los Feliz. Yeah. I've been to that theater. Yeah.
So the Vista, the Vintage Vista, was anytime there's a premiere, he'll go in costume to be the ticket cutter.
Oh, nice.
That's like his favorite thing. He's like super jolly. You know it's him because he's like always so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they also have like the movie club stuff happens there too. Like nerds like us does a lot of stuff there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like that theater. Is anything going to compare to the ArcLight? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah. As far as like Hollywood proper, I don't really think there's another big, interesting movie theater. They got the Disney-owned one. What is the El Capitan? Something like that?
Oh, yeah. The El Capitan.
El Capitan, yeah.
Oh, that's true. And then across the street is the...
The other one.
Granum's. What's the actual movie theater?
The Chinese theater, yeah.
Yeah, just I don't know. But I think Granite Chinese Theater is only that one big theater, and then the other theaters are a different. It's all owned by the same people. It doesn't matter. But have you ever been into like those other? He looked away, folks. What is he looking at?
My cat.
I'm talking to Rolando, and they looked away. Oh, there's a cat. Hashtag cats. For your cat lovers that love horror movies. I was going to say, that movie theater is pretty cool. It's just in obviously a shitty area. If you live here any period of time, you know, to probably avoid that area of Los Angeles.
I wanted to ask another question. After your vax, do you think you'll get your second shot here soon, right? And do you think you'll go to a theater? Do you plan on going to a theater? After?
After the 2 weeks? Yeah, I think so. After I don't see why weeks? Not. I mean, I'm already getting a lot more relaxed because I know the second shot's really going to set me up proper. But, you know, after the first shot, you're supposed to be in pretty decent shape.
Mm-hmm.
At least like 80% protected, which is like what? That's already like 100% more effective than the flu shot we get every year. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I think flu shot's only like 40-something% effective.
Mm, okay. So
I'd probably go. I mean, I got to wait for my partner to get her shots. She's barely going to get her first one on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, same. So. I think I'm going to wait for my fiance to get it, and then we'll talk about it. We'll see where we are. With the, like I said, like with the Pacific closing. We got to look around and see where we can go and what's their, you know, safety guidelines and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I guess what Rolando's trying to get at, folks, is Rolando and I are going to start going on dates because our partners refuse to get vaxxed at the same time. So.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
All the guys in this group we used to call date night, we're all just getting vexed before our partners so we can all hang out without them.
Yeah. They were already suspicious that we think we don't want to hang out with them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like how many times, and I'm sure people at home have been doing this too, but how many times have you flashed your vax card like, well, look, see, mine has an older date.
Cool, yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about ArcLight?
Nope, just it will be missed. It's definitely got a big place in my heart. I know people would probably argue like corporate greed, blah blah blah, but it was such a fucking wonderful theater.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be a short while before they figure out whatever they plan on doing with it, if they do anything, and hopefully something else will pop up and, you know, fill some semblance of what they did before. You know, huge loss.
Yeah. Oh well. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Rest in power. All right. Before we get into our review, I also wanted to share another recording I transferred over. It's
more Jimmy G.
Yeah, I think it's wild stuff. I think that we got to check it out. So, okay. All right, cool. Let's check it out.
Me, oh my. It ruins my day when I can't sleep awake and my back's aching. Well, maybe Shadow Friends can help me with my problem. Oh, please, Shadow Friends, help me out. My mattress is old and sturdy, but my back keeps giving out. I need one of your clouds to rest my tender hams and make sleep feel good yet again. Well, hello there, Mr. Gooseneck, our old friend. How can we help you with your bed? We need to know details to further help your back health. Tell us, what are you currently using again?
Oh, well, thanks, Shadow Friends. Well, I'm doing well. And I gotta say, I'm still using the old, the tuna spread. You know what that means, right?
We need to know details. Please give us the details so we can help you with your new bed.
Well, okay, well, a tuna spread is just, well, it's an old family favorite. It's where you get a bunch of tuna cans and you string them together to make out a full bed. It's nice and sturdy. And, before that, I was using the old, slide-a-slide, if you know what I mean.
We don't, Mr. Gooseneck. In order to help you further, we're going to need those details once again.
Well, all right. Just like the other thing, it sounds exactly what it sounds like. I used to sneak away in the middle of the night and sleep on the old park's slide. I mean, it was either there or it was, unfortunately, the old dick top. Now, let me tell you what that's about. You see?
No, Mr. Gooseneck, that won't be necessary. We can help you here at Shadow Friends.
Are you sure? I mean, it's quite crazy and a little icky, but the truth is...
No, Mr. Gooseneck, that won't be necessary. We have the perfect mattress at Shadow Friends. Just for you, Mr. Gooseneck, the perfect cloud.
Oh my, this is gonna be such a step up from everything I've slept on before. Oh, and it's all Canadian made? I guess that makes sense. Or else I wouldn't put my name on it, honk honk. Shadow Friends Mattresses by Jimmy Gooseneck.
Oh my god, what? What? Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I've heard the term dick top. Is that what I thought it meant, or is it...
Yeah, I was curious about that. What is a dick top?
Hold on, give me a couple of seconds.
Yeah. Okay, you've seen the internet, not tapping the table.
no, okay, here we go. A dick top. Oh, that's a pretty crude explanation. Jimmy G.
Round head, okay, with foreskin. So
a dick top is a Murphy bed.
Oh.
It looks like a dick top is a Murphy bed. Yeah, it looks like the Shadow Friends mattress made a bed called a dick top, which is actually a Richard bed, which was Jimmy Gooseneck's version of a Murphy bed, it looks like.
Oh.
So it is not any of these other, like, 10 things it says.
Man, this guy...
It is not a porn thing.
This man had his hand, his beak, and everything. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah.
Just really...
And that fucking little bop-bop, bop-bop, or whatever the hell it is. Is that, is that supposed to be like his goose walking? His goose walk? So funny.
Oh, it's great. God. Amazing stuff.
This guy's great. This sounds like a fucking... Like, is this a part of a play?
Could be. The guy saved a ton of stuff. He was just a pack rat. Huh. He loved everything he made, saved it, and, you know... And now, you know, now we get a chance to hear it.
This is what it's all about, man. This guy's legacy is going to live on.
Cool. Great. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. I sure do. So for the movie Come True, not a porn, I have...
Not a six, porn. That's five, only 4 words.
Not a porn.
That's 4 words.
Six of these review or plot summaries, right?
Okay.
So coming in at number 6, I have Runaway stays surprisingly very clean.
Okay.
Because I don't know how this... I mean, I guess she's doing laundry a lot, right? But she never bathes. According to the movie.
It's a spicy take on our less fortunate in our society, John. So.
Oh, that's true. But it looked like she, like, voluntarily ran away, right? But they never explained that.
But did she? Did she? Did anything happen? I don't know.
I mean, that's one of my 5-word plot summaries, too. But coming in at number 5, I have... Tired young hipster needs melatonin.
I need melatonin, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all need melatonin. I got coming in at number 4, Canadian Daniel Radcliffe likes young.
Likes young?
Yeah, because the young hipster over here that needs melatonin. I mean, there is a part of the movie where she's like, you know I'm 18, right? And he's like, oh, I guess it's Bone Town now.
He just sat in the car and did the math. Like, is this legal?
Yeah. Coming in at number, I'm going to guess 3 because I forgot what number it was.
Okay, fair enough.
Sleep clinic sucks at peeping.
Yep. There you go. That's a good one.
Coming in at number 2, I have M. Night directs Dallas finale. Bam.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
But coming in at number 1, and this is my favorite one.
Okay.
Tool music video is getting longer.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
I just couldn't get over that. I was like, oh, my God, this just looks like a fucking Tool music video. I mean, I'm not mad at that. It's just couldn't get over how it looked like a Tool music video.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. That thought crossed my mind. Cool. Do you want to give your first thoughts?
Yeah. I liked it. I want to say I feel like I understood what the overall sort of like message or meaning behind it kind of was. But I feel like it just missed the mark a little bit because it's a first effort.
You're right. Yeah. He's a new young filmmaker. Anthony Scott Burns. Directed, wrote it, scored it. Yeah. Edit it. Did like literally every job in it.
Which, like, you nailed it. It's got a very Cronenberg thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also doing that, like, Nicholas Ray Fiennes. Is that how you say his name? What's his name? Nicholas The Neon Demon and...
Yeah. I know you're talking about Drive.
And Only God Forgives, all those. It's got that feel to it, too, where it's like, is this an 80s film? But then everybody has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think that's kind of explained at the end a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Why it would be that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why it feels so mixed. Because
there's moments where I'm like... Yeah. Because I feel like that reveal at the end is like, oh, okay, I guess that explains a lot. But while I'm watching the movie, I'm still like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
A little too much. Like the weird music video segment where she's watching that other, the Canadian Danny Radcliffe's like dreams. I was like, why am I watching this music video right now?
Man, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but it was pretty cool. Like, I want to say it was very well acted.
Okay.
Yep. In my opinion, you know? So it wasn't weak there. I think it was just trying really hard to pull you different directions to be, like, misleading for a Dallas finale.
<You know>? Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely things we got to talk about the ending, but I think there's quite a few things to say about... I was super impressed with this movie, and I think I've commented on this before that there's a lot of movies, starting the podcast, there's a lot of movies that we've watched that I don't think I would have either, maybe it took a couple of years to catch them, but now that I feel like we're more adamant about looking and finding things that aren't mainstream, that are indie, you know what I mean?
Right,
And I really enjoy that. I love finding these movies, and I would say for about... maybe till the ending, the last act of this movie. I thought this was one of the best movies I had ever seen. Like, just ambitious, just incredibly, just one of those movies that I really thought I was watching, like, the next, like, Primer, which
yeah,
is, I know,
probably.
Yeah. A unique, brand new voice to cinema. You know what I mean? I think the guy has that. I think he's definitely has a point of view and has a strong point of view. He knows what he wants. Everything he shot was so confidently. The way he conveyed everything, the music I thought was so spot on. The synth, like heavy synth soundtrack that was pretty much like through the whole thing was well done.
Yeah.
And also
would you
like.
Say it?
Hmm.
I was just gonna, would you say it had a very Gus Van Sant feel to it too, like an early Gus Van Sant?
Pacing was very deliberate, very slow.
Yeah,
The movie is is a mystery box. You know what I mean? Like they call it a mystery box movie, where it's like there's things going on that are happening that.
But it's always a dick. It's always a dick in the box.
In the box, yeah. fucking JT, and. And I think he made an absolutely incredible choice to anchor the whole movie was Julia Sarah Dunn, the character. And I'm unfamiliar with this actress. I thought she was fantastic. It's a hard movie. I think it's a hard role. She's like almost in every scene, just about.
Yeah.
And I think that
technically she is in every scene.
Yeah, technically. Supposedly, I don't know. None of this.
Yeah, some parts don't connect that way, but yeah.
But I think it's it did everything so well, or you know, did everything really, really well in building upon this mystery box, right? Like, what's going on with these characters? What's going on with her? Building upon it, the world, and everything. But it didn't. I don't think it sticked its landing at all.
No, like, I mean that reveal at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like if. If that was what he really wanted to go for, honestly, I think he should have revealed that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we could just let her play it out the way it is. Yeah. Sorry, what? Yep.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was going to say, like, we could definitely talk about that in spoilers. Like, but we have to. Yeah. It's like the thing to talk about.
Yeah.
The sort of very, like, vague ending to this movie, to put it lightly. But I think there's a. Aside from that, I think the movie itself is a great movie up to the end. You know what I mean? Like, there was just the way everything, all of the whole color palette was muted. It was pretty much like entirely blue or dark, you know what I mean? Blacks and blues and grays and stuff like that. So it had a really good vibe to it. We kind of made fun of it a little bit, but like the Tool video sort of VFX sort of that were in this movie, I thought were actually effective. I don't know if they were ever reached like horror scary, you know, level, but
no.
I think they worked within this piece. You know what I mean? Like, I think they did a lot of smart, interesting things where the character is in this, she's in this, study like or whatever. Sleep study that it's so minimal that the people that were watching her sleep have all the like just tower monitors. They add like some weird pink light and they just dangle a bunch of cords over to the machine and it's effective, right? Like you don't need, you know what I mean? You don't need a ton of like things to kind of sell you on this being plausible. You know what I mean?
Right. And also, if it doesn't look up to date or state of the art, the ending sort of explains that.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
Because it's got to be within her perspective always, right? I think.
No, yeah, it does. It does. Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a bunch of interesting, like, even when it came down to, like, the costume design of what they wear when they're being studied was very reminiscent of, like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I feel like I'm going to dive into spoilers if we talk about that, because there's a...
Okay, yeah.
I definitely feel... Because I want to say, like, it feels very 80s, but then that also doesn't make sense time-wise, because in my head, I'm still stuck in, like, 2000 or something. Like, I mean, in my daily life, I still think it's, like, 2000.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to grasp. It's already 2021.
Yeah, like, I think... early on, I thought this movie had a sort of less kind of frantic style, but similar to like Nightmare on Elm Street. Just with the dreams and like, you know, there being, I don't think it's a spoiler to mention that there's like a shadowy figure.
Which I get, I mean, my takeaway from that is it's supposed to be what people experience during sleep paralysis, because I feel like that's what they're experiencing also when they woke up and still saw the figures.
I also wasn't crazy about the title.
It's not the best title in the world.
Come true. That one didn't really hit me that hard. But would you rather get into spoilers now, or do you want to add anything else you would like to add?
Nah, let's just get into spoilers. I'm having a hard time talking about anything without having to reference the ending.
We should start the ending and they work backwards, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You're right. Absolutely.
Like, if you watch this movie in reverse, I think it would be just as effective, right? Maybe. I don't know. Like,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. It was all a dream.
She's a vampire. What the fuck is that? What?
No, so this young lady who is 18 in this dream is actually possibly 38.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? Because the very end... And I think that's why she like smiles and kind of laughs when she looks in the mirror as soon as she reads the text message. Because she receives a text message right before the final moment that says, what's her name in the thing?
Sarah.
Oh, Sarah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sarah, we don't know when you're going to get this message in your dream, but you've been in a coma for 20 years. We're trying a new technique or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So right when she was like freaking out about her teeth and turning into a vampire and like killing this dude, like gouging his eyes out and sticking her thumb straight into his brain, I guess, is what happened. Because she's like a vampire, so she's ultra strong, and this like obviously way bigger guy, couldn't throw her off while they're banging. They're banging, by the way.
Straight up banging.
There's sex in this.
Sex. Yeah.
Not to alarm only Rolando during the podcast, but it looks like we're dropping some some framage in our call.
Oh, no. Okay.
But yeah, anyway, so it's all a dream, and I guess like there are people that are monitoring what's going on, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everything she's dreaming is supposed to parallel what's actually happening.
Yeah.
But then you're never going to know. That's why it was such a like, oh, okay, that's a way to end it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think he got too cute with the ending, and I was actually really frustrated with it. It made me like, I was so invested in seeing, I would have been perfectly happy with just a story about these shadowy figures that are in your dreams and you're able to see them that come back, you know, that are able to exist, come into like a reality, quote unquote, right? I would have been perfectly happy with the story about that. But then they continue and they go a little deeper and they go to all kinds of really obscure, kind of like vague things. And like, I was so deeply, deeply disappointed in the ending. Cause I felt like they built and earned so much, even though it was like slow paced and they kind of like, you know, built all these things. And I don't really have a problem with slow paced movies. They don't really bug me, but I mean, you do have to, I feel like this movie definitely needed like an ending that just like, made sense, you know, perfectly, you know, needs to like stick the landing, and they did not. They kind of folded within itself.
Like I mean, I don't know. My take on what could have made this a better way to end it, if you really want to go that route, maybe something like she sees her teeth, right? But then she wakes up on like the playground slide again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like a loop, right? Something that's continuous. As opposed to like getting a text message like that. Cause I was, it wasn't even like honestly a good looking text message. It looked like, it looked like scroll text from like Star Wars or something. It looked like real.
Yeah. And of course what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if it is like 2021 in the movie, so it was 2001 when she went into a coma, right?
Yeah.
So how does she know what these cell phones look like?
Mm-hmm.
There's no smartphones in 2001.
No. I don't even think we had flip phones yet.
We got questions, Anthony Scott Burns. Oh, no, we did have flip phones. I only know that because Matrix is already out.
Matrix is already out.
So we had cool phones, at least.
Razors.
Which is another movie they're going to have to update for the new Matrix. Like, how are they going to use these phones? Everybody's got a smartphone.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, after the movie, I immediately like was like, I need to find a video or article to explain this movie to me, because I was so pissed. I was like, man, she can't be a vampire. That's... You know, that's really stupid.
No, yeah. And which, luckily, she's not, right?
So, no, she's not. So, there was one article I found at Cinemaholic, and that I kind of like the explanation. I mean, the movie's interpretive. It could be whatever. It's like, you can kind of come at it any angle. I don't think there's any, like, true way to see this movie. You know what I mean? And unless the director like completely spells it out, you know what I mean? But I did enjoy this guy's one theory where he kind of looks at the chapters, because there was like four segments.
Oh, that's right.
And the four segments were named the persona, the anima, and the animus, the shadow, and the self. And those are all part of a Carl Jung's theory on its like, and on how we deal with our own personality, I guess, right? So he kind of like...
Oh, okay.
According to the article, it, it, it's sort of said the personas is they break it down as the exterior image we show everybody in our life, right? Which is what how the movie starts, right? Like she's friends, she can't sleep, she has no relationship with her mother, stuff like that. And then the anima and the animus refers to male and female duality. So essentially, basically what he's saying is like Sarah and Jeremy are basically the same person. They're two parts of her personality. Okay. So we have to assume, one thing I forgot to mention, we have to assume that everything at that end is the text, everything off that phone in that text is happened. So we have to just assume that 20 years, she's been in a cult for 20 years and she's only within her mind, right? And the phone is
she slowly dying? Oh, okay.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. So Sarah is very loud, sort of impulsive. Jeremy is very soft-spoken and brooding. So it's like the duality of personalities. And
yeah, and stares at underage kids.
Seeing their interactions, their arguments, their lovemaking, and eventual murder, Jeremy and Sarah are visitation of like a tug of war between personality, right? So, So it's just a, you know, and then the shadow reference sort of our gray era within ourselves, things that we hide, things we hold from ourselves. And what the ending is saying is about the self is that she was in a coma and there's this internal struggle, but Jeremy dies, right? Jeremy dies at the end. So therefore she's accepted her sort of darker persona, or more in basically leading herself, that she's accepted her darker side of herself, which is represented in the vampire, in the fangs. And one thing you kind of see a duality, kind of a contrast, is when we first see her, she's very like tired and very kind of like timid. When we see her at the end, she's finally kind of this person. Persona has won, right? She has like vampire fangs. She's looking at herself. She kind of laughs. You know, she looks very confident. So it's like her darker self has won over. Does that kind of track or follow?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because I can also see her end it's got to be like a refresher of like a clean palette for who she is now, considering everything's like white and everything's covered and everything's clean except for whatever's bloody. Which I was trying to figure out why her back was all bloody too. I was like, do I really want to go deep into like why she's so, I don't know. It was a little bit gross, but then I gotta wonder. So every other person that was a part of this sleep thing were other parts of her personality that were dying off, I guess, because then they just disappear, and then that other girl never explains what happens to them, and the like dude that was running the whole thing disappears too.
Yeah. They're all probably basically part of like her mind, her subconscious, because that's where she is. You know what I mean? She's in this coma, and she sort of lives in her mind, like a coma patient would, right? So, that was the only kind of like satisfying explanation. But it's definitely disheartening having to like get on the internet and try to write something to read about it instead of, have.
Because again, it feels like a cheap way to explain what happened in everything, like the whole movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I get it is a cool concept, like the idea of somebody being in a coma. But again, if maybe you introduce that idea a little bit earlier, not at the beginning, maybe not even at the middle, but like towards the end, then you can see like a real conflict. I mean, I'm not doing like straight, don't do identity, right?
No,
don't
or
go that extreme.
Or like a Jacob's Ladder, or like a...
Yeah.
Or a Stay. Did you ever see Stay?
Ewan McGregor, right? And
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, right. Ewan McGregor and...
Ryan Gosling?
Oh, wait. Yeah, Ryan Gosling is the guy... I think Ewan McGregor plays his doctor, but he ends up being the first guy that tries to help him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where you have...
Yeah, I need to rewatch that movie.
That was good. It works.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But I think it's I think where I feel the movie lets out, where it lets down, is probably the writing. The writing, I think, is very interpretive, very ambitious. It's not satisfying, the movie. And like I said, like having to look somewhere else to get answers for the movie was kind of like, you know, it shouldn't be extra work. Should it be, in my opinion.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I agree with you. I thought it was a pretty good movie until that one last moment. I was like, oh, come on. Okay. I mean, I can see how maybe a lot of other people might be like, whoa, mind fucked, right?
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, that's not, because this was like playing out like a really cool sci-fi movie, which it does, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a horror movie. I can understand why it's classified as horror. Like a lot of science fiction movies, you know, fall in that little gray area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that final moment, which was also playing like a drive moment between Ryan Gosling and what's her name? I forgot that other actress's name. But it reminded me of when they're driving in the LA River, going towards that like green part, that whole section, and then her just, I don't know. I'm not sure if what I'm saying is making any sense. Much like the ending. I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah. It's a swing and a miss, I think, for an ending. And which is tough. I mean, because I think there's a lot of really good, interesting things going on in the beginning of this movie. Sky has like really specific things he does really well. And I don't think this ending worked.
Yeah, right. I agree. Because the movie was pretty cool. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of Tool. You get a little bit of... what's his name? Kavinsky, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's that guy's name?
Yeah. Cool.
Well,
do you want to add anything else?
No, I think, yeah. I think overall the movie was pretty good, except for that ending, like we keep saying. Mm-hmm. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but maybe the horse was asleep all along. We don't know.
Yeah, same. I think that, like, there's a lot of, like, authority in how he directed the feature and how he created this project, you know what I mean? There's a really interesting aura about how he, like, that surrounds it. But I think it kind of just has an inadequate ending and it just falls apart. And I think that's going to be the hurdle for this movie. No matter how many things it gets right in the beginning of this movie, it doesn't stick the landing. And
just to be clear from my perspective, like I thought, the pacing was great. The editing was great. The cinematography was wonderful. The production design was fantastic. You know, the sound, like everything about this felt like those quote unquote like 20th Century Fox indie films, right? Like they're indie films, but they're still, you know, exactly what we're talking about, like Drive and all those movies. Like they're supposed to be independent films, but they're clearly heavily produced and well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I mentioned, this definitely felt like a primer, you know what I mean? Or like Time Crimes, when you saw that movie, like just something unique, something different, a brand new voice to independent work. And I think it's still there, and he has a lot of, you know, it's like it's his second feature. I think he did another movie previous to this, which I'm going to actively check out. I'm going to look for it and try to watch it. And, you know, he'll grow into I really feel like he'll grow into his, into writing and directing his movies.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he also directed one of the holiday segments.
Mm-hmm. I don't know which one.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Because those were also hit and miss. So.
Yeah. Easter Bunny. No.
Give birth to snakes.
Give birth to snakes. Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I think I'm gonna have to give this one 6.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, same. I'm going to give it, I was going to give it 7 sexy spooky bones. Though I was ready to give this the sexiest, spookiest bones. I was going to give it a 10 out of 10 before the ending. I was going to really did like, you know, give it the most, the toppest rating we've ever, the highest rating we've ever given in the movie, but and then the ending happened.
Yeah, the ending. That's because, what's her name was wonderful. Julia Sarah Stone, who is not related to Lauren Lapkus, as far as my research can tell me, which blows my mind. almost a really, really solid movie. And then, you know.
Yeah. Hard to recommend now. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.